I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Psalm 124. It's on page 537 in the Pew Bible. As we read this Psalm of David, Psalm 124, and as we think about who is on your side, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Anybody in here remember when you used to choose up sides? Or maybe it's not so much when you used to, but maybe even today you still choose up sides for different things. When you were younger and you were playing games, especially playing baseball or basketball or football or maybe some other games, maybe Cowboys and Indians. Some of you might have always wanted to be the Cowboys because they were supposed to win all the time, right? At least that's what the John Wayne movie said. You'd choose up sides. Sometimes you were disappointed because you didn't get on the side that you wanted to be. Even today, there are sometimes situations where we choose up sides. Maybe you're going to be playing 5-on-5 basketball or going to be doing something else. Or how about conflicts and disagreements? Have you ever been told you've got to choose a side? You can't stay neutral. You have to choose one side or the other. In fact, sometimes not to choose would be to choose a side. If you had an opportunity in Hebrew life, a lot of times, if you had an opportunity to do something that was really good or something that wasn't so good and you chose to do nothing at all, in their estimation, you had sinned and chosen the lesser good because you didn't stand up for the higher good. Did you ever look around to see who was on your side? Were the folks that you wanted on your side? If I was playing basketball, I think I'd want Michael Jordan. And there could be some others. But, you know, are there folks, even today, in situations in your life, at work, at school, at home, where you might have to make a decision and choose a side of an issue or a situation, and you get to thinking, well, I wonder who will be on my side. And maybe perhaps you choose which side you go based on who might be the stronger person on that side of the argument or situation. Israel, I think, often must have wondered who in the world was on their side. Or whose side God was on. Sometimes they asked if God was on their side. Especially when they were in exile or something terrible happened, some tragedy happened to them. They wondered, where is God? Is God on our side or not? Sometimes they were asked whose side they were on as well. And encouraged to be on God's side, though it took them a while to get there, oftentimes. Sometimes we might even face situations where we either say, I sure hope God's on my side. Or, if it weren't for God helping me, and you fill in the blank. I think most of us have been there. At least in that last setting, at least once in our lives, where we've thought back on something and we've said, you know, if it weren't for the fact that God was on my side, or if it weren't for the fact that God was helping me at that point, then just think what could have happened. The psalmist here recognizes God's presence and the importance of having God on your side, but even more so, being on God's side. And he recognizes the importance of God's deliverance of the nation from her enemies. In fact, he calls for the congregation to recognize that and remember it and even repeat it. You might have thought you might have been in a revival meeting if you wandered in and you've got him saying, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now let Israel say, and then everybody would holler out, if it were not for the Lord who was on our side. But it was a way to get the people to realize and to recognize that they were not alone, even though sometimes they may feel lonely and alone. Perhaps even feeling sometimes that God was nowhere to be found. And though this psalm is written by one person, it is not intended just to be an individual psalm used by one person. It's actually intended as part of the liturgy of corporate worship, to call the congregation to pay close attention to what God has done, to restate this as a call of remembrance, which leads to commitment. Commitment to God and commitment to each other because of God. And he says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, what would have happened? He says, think about it. If God wasn't on your side, where would you be? If God wasn't on your side when you were in a difficult situation, what would have happened? He says Israel would have been swallowed up alive. Now, there are some theologians, Old Testament theologians, who think that it's a reference back to, very obviously, the rescue from exile in Egypt when they went through the Reed Sea and the waters were parted. And then, of course, later as they got to the other side, the waters did swallow up many of Pharaoh's men who had gone in after them. But it's also reminiscent of other times in their lives, when they crossed the Jordan River in a similar fashion, when they faced torrential rains, when they were swallowed up or nearly swallowed up by enemies who came through. And so the metaphor that he uses here is that very familiar metaphor of water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. That water that could destroy. When it says swallowed up alive, the Hebrew word also means swept away, submerged, or torn apart. As one theologian writes, the images which follow one another very rapidly, almost breathlessly, as you read this passage, express a sense of sudden crisis and the magnitude of the danger run but happily escaped. He recognizes that Israel could have been completely obliterated, individually as well as corporately. But happily, God was on their side. You don't know how hard it is for me to avoid singing the Nationwide commercial right here. But how happy they were that God was on their side. God who, in both distant and recent events, had helped them overcome rather than be overcome. And drowned and swept away. Flood, torrents, raging waters, all of these things rush headlong in the psalm here, reminiscent of the suddenness with which troubles may come. Like floods in a wadi in the Middle East, W-A-D-I. Which is a gorge or a narrow passage. We call them gorges out in the western part of the U.S. or dry stream beds. And what can happen when torrential rains come? Absolutely, floods. And very fast floods that can sweep you away in just a heartbeat. Because the ground is so parched and dry, the water hits and runs in because it doesn't soak in and it rushes headlong. The raging waters gone over us speaks of the struggles of a person who almost feels like they're drowning in turbulent waters. Have you ever had a situation in your life? Perhaps you're in one now, where you almost feel like you're drowning. It's all you can do. Anybody in here, except for some of you young ladies and gentlemen, anybody in here that has not said at some point in time in your life that you were just trying to keep your head above water? Whether it's financially or socially or religiously, just trying to keep your head above water. And sometimes the water, all you can do is keep your nose above it. Right? We all have situations like that in life that come upon us. Another of the phrases we use, and it's been mentioned to me a couple of times in the past week, when it rains, it pours. To describe tragedy and difficulty that comes along. Not as gentle rains, but as torrential rains that pour over us and threaten us. Threaten our well-being, not just physically, but threaten our well-being emotionally and spiritually. Difficulties can almost seem to drown us. And we almost feel like, it's written down here, we almost feel like we're on that front porch with the hound dogs around us in hee-haw, singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. There are times when it seems that there will be no hope. And yet, things then change as if providentially. As if there's divine intervention. And when this occurs, we will often find the very hand of God within the situation, even through other people, if we just sit back and reflect. The church, not just Israel, but the church, can find many times when things should have been worse, but then turned better. Not only the church as a whole, but individual congregations. If you think back, there have been difficult days for this congregation as well. There are times when we think the church shouldn't have survived, but it did. It did not because of who the people were, but because of God's presence with the people and within those who were faithful and followed God's leading. After recognition of what God has done, we should always then acknowledge God with our thanksgiving. If the Lord had not been on our side, we could have been swept away, overcome, torn apart. But because of God's presence with us, He kept us from the snare. He rescued us and delivered us, the psalmist says. And then he goes on for that thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God, not only for God's presence in rescue from exile or deliverance from an opposing army, but God's presence even within the synagogue, even within the temple, even within the church. And he says, "Blessed be the Lord," which literally means, "Let the Lord be praised." Not with just praises as we sing or might shout out, but with a life of praise living. A life of praise living. Praising God with the way we live our lives. For we're all pilgrims, and we're journeying through life together, hoping for heaven, hoping for goodness, hoping for grace. Sometimes we slip and we fall. Sometimes we wander and sometimes we get lost. If we're honest and truly take stock of our lives, time after time we feel helpless. Helpless to make things different. And then suddenly, help comes. Whether that help is in the middle of a night with a prayer, with an audible voice, or if that help comes in a neighbor or a fellow church member or a co-worker or another student at school, just giving us a kind word or saying, you know, you've been on my mind lately. I'm praying for you. Help comes. And that help comes from God. Yet it is not in our initiative that help arrives. It is always that of the Lord who made heaven and earth, as the psalmist says. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We can't fully explain it, but deep inside we know it. And sometimes we remember it, and sometimes we offer thanksgiving to God, and sometimes we don't. But we also need to remember that, as the Apostle Paul writes, that we need to remember and realize, if God is for us, then who can truly be against us? Romans chapter 8. But before we get too complacent, before we get too self-assured, we need to also remember that God is on our side, but we must be able to answer with words and with life the question, who is on the Lord's side? It's not just if God had not been on our side, but then the question naturally follows, who is on the Lord's side? Moses asked that question of the people. Joshua asked that question of the people. Asked them to step up and to stand and to live firmly on God's side. Then they found God's presence even more. And then we could perhaps say, as in one of the songs from three-quart opera on Neil Diamond's CD, leave a little room for God and He'll have room for you. So the question is really double-edged. Who is on your side? And whose side are you on? The answers to both of those questions will make all the difference in this world and in the next. Who's on your side? And whose side are you on? May we pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that You watch over us as You do. And that in so many times, in so many situations, when we wonder just where You are or what we're going to do next, through a word, through a smile, through a sense, we come to find Your work and Your grace and Your help. We thank You that You are on our side. We ask You to help us to be even more on Your side, so that our world can benefit even more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open for any decision you might make as to a profession of faith in Christ, if you've never made one publicly, as to joining with this fellowship and ministering from here. But even more so, whether you come to the front, to this altar, or whether you simply kneel at the altar of your heart, I would ask each of us to ask those two questions and to seriously look at our answers. Number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.